Juno Afternoon is made possible with support from Hanson Gress, delivering IT support to local businesses for over 15 years. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. It's about 22 minutes to the top of the hour, and joining me now in the studio are Alice Tersig and Fumi Matsumoto, both here to talk about Juno Printmakers Group and the upcoming exhibit opening, you guessed it, this first Friday. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Hi. Thank you.
Thank you both for being here. Alice and Fumi, I've interviewed you both before. I know you're both great artists with a lot of experience. Alice, I didn't know that you were actually, that you taught printmaking for a long time.
Over 30 years.
Yeah. and you're both multi-talented artists, and you've got a lot of experience in printmaking and other areas as well. So I think you're the best people to talk about. Who are the Juno printmakers?
Well, out of the nine people, we've got the two of us, of course. And the first people that actually organized this art show are Gordon Harrison and Jim Heumann. And in addition to those two, Michelle Morrell, Charles Robacher, who's traditionally an icon painter, but he's gotten into relief printing and has some wonderful images too. Jane Stokes, Peggy Wertheimer, and Juliana Humphreys.
It must be a lot of fun to get so many people together.
Wait
to
till you see this. We're watching it go up right now, and you won't believe it. I mean, a lot of the artists are using a similar medium. A lot of them are relief prints, but they are so different. You won't believe it. I mean, they're just wonderful. And even the pieces that are in similar colors look so different because they, you know, come from different artists.
Fumi, how did this group, how did the show come about?
Oh, it's really interesting. I guess Gordon first was selling some Christmas cards for a fundraiser at the Jack. And he ran into and met Jim Heumann, whom he didn't know before. But they were talking about printmaking, and they decided, wouldn't it be great to have a show? So I think they were the ones who originally applied. I actually didn't know most of these printmakers before this show, and wasn't too familiar with their work. So it's going to be challenging for me to match work with names and not miss anyone here. I don't want to shortchange anyone. But Gordon called me and asked me to join. He had seven other artists, and I think Alice and I were near the end there.
And Charles.
And Charles. We were the last ones. I said, yeah, sure, that'd be fun. And we'll talk a little bit about the different types of printmaking just, you know, in general. And I'm hoping that I can scare up some kind of, you know, item or some impressions of what we saw that's going up right now for each of the artists. But I know we have a limited amount of time, so we can get on with at least explaining what printmaking is if people aren't too familiar with the different types and styles of printmaking. And like I said, Alice has taught printmaking for so long over at the university, although you just retired. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So maybe you could just describe, you know, relief print versus intaglio or silkscreen.
I think the best example of silkscreen prints or serigraphs, Michelle Morrell has a few examples there. And obviously it's a screen printing technique where you're using a stencil that's attached to the screen, and you print the whole edition at one time. Mm-hmm. Whereas relief prints, you have the option of printing proofs right at the beginning until you get exactly what you're looking for, and you can print just a few until you get them just the way you want. And the images are carved from wood or linoleum or a variety of other materials, and the surface is printed. With intaglio, it's just the opposite. You put the ink on a zinc plate or a synthetic material and then wipe the surface so that only the marks that you make are holding the ink. Hmm. So it's more like a line drawing. And so you can keep revising it until you get exactly what you're looking for. And then you can proof the prints, you know, getting exactly what you want, and then run your editions. And when you come to the show, you'll see that each of the prints has an edition number. So it'll be one and then a slash mark, and then the bottom number is the total edition. Mm. It'll be an edition of 25, 70, 100, whatever it happens to be. Or if it says AP, that's an artist proof, and that's usually about 10% of the edition. And those are the ones that are given to the artist to sell. And those are a little bit different designation. But anything else that just says proof on it means that the edition may or may not look exactly that way.
Yeah.
What method do you usually start your students off with, either of you, if you both teach?
Well, go ahead, Alice.
I think almost everybody remembers when they were in grammar school, they did potato prints.
Ah, yes.
So that might be their first experience.
The most basic
but
level.
It probably is something they remember because that was something that was relatively easy to do. And they may even still have examples of it.
Well, one thing I wanted to mention, just because Alice had said, you know, threw out a couple of terms here, besides the addition, which is the number of prints that you make. That's the one interesting thing about printmaking. You can make multiples of a piece instead of having just one. And most of the people, the other artists, have additions here in the show. So like she said, you have the number of which print in succession that was printed plus the total amount. But I'm just looking at this one piece that I did. I guess my prints are sort of an exception. You can call them prints. They're actually monotypes because each print, it has the same image and I use the same block, but the background are tea bags. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people are familiar with my work with the tea bags, but you can't get all the tea bags to look exactly alike. So the background paper, the tea bag paper, looks different. So when you have a print that's not exactly the same, like Alice said, you could say artist proof, but I always think of it as one of kind. So mine doesn't have a number associated with it or an AP written there. It just has a title because they're one of a kind. And so they're block prints or lino prints, relief prints on tea bags, whereas a lot of all the others, except for I think one of Jane's pieces is on a 5.5 foot long piece of cloth, textile. It's a Celtic knot that she did multiple images in a line, so it looks like one print. It's beautiful, but that's on cloth and not paper.
So you mentioned that you were looking at your image here, and that's on ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon. Your wonderful dragon here, very detailed. I can't imagine how long it took. So we have those up on display so people can go and look if you're listening and want to see examples of this work. And another one is yours as well. What are we looking at here?
That piece was done by Gordon Harrison, and he has a letterpress that's a tabletop printer, and it was one that he got from down south, and I think he used it for most of his artwork. Many of us are familiar with a freestanding press, a flatbed press, and the press that the university had is now over at Makerspace in Douglas.
Oh, wow.
And so people can join Makerspace, and they have access to that facility. And then also the Canvas has a press. So if people are just fascinated by some of his images, please come on Friday, ask him all about it, and you can sign up and take classes.
Really? You can take classes?
Yeah. And he does
terrific
calligraphy. That mm-hmm. Some of his images are not, you know, animals and wildlife, which a majority of the prints are. Mm-hmm. But he does this beautiful calligraphy that's featured there.
And then we just have I'm not sure who the
– I think that's Gordon's.
This is Gordon's as well. It's a couple of animals right here. And well, you know, we actually have a lot of pictures online, and we could just go through every single one of them. But apart from your own work, whose work are you most excited to see on display?
That's a tricky question. Not fair. They're all great.
They're amazing. It was so inspiring just to see the show today, because we had a little bit of an idea of what people were working on from the meetings that we had prior to this. But, oh, my gosh, to see them all together is very inspiring. Right. So I hope
Are these all part of the exhibit? All these works here?
There's more.
I mean, it's amazing. Detailed. Yeah. I just can't – it's just so amazing to me, all the detail.
The show
detail.
Will knock you out. It's really wonderful.
I think so. It's a great show.
You can start your gallery walk experience there at the Jack, where the show will be, Juneau Arts and Culture Center. And, of course, that's, again, this first Friday, December 7th, beginning at 4:30, the first exhibit of Impressions. 9 different artists, multiple techniques, looks like, on display here. And Alice and Fumi, you both have your works on display as well.
Yes.
So that's really exciting.
And a lot of the pieces are flat. They are not framed, so that makes them a lot less expensive. So if people are looking for Christmas gifts, and they'd be easy to mail.
There's a whole bin full of really nice pieces.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a wonderful suggestion. That would be a terrific gift idea. If anyone's listening, what I want for Christmas.
Yes.
All right. We'll go to the Jack this first Friday and see this. Seems to me kind of like a one-of-a-kind show, and it looks like it's going to be really unique and really impressive. Pardon the pun.
Yeah. Impressive.
No.
Yes.
Hope it'll be an annual event, maybe.
That would be great.
Well, I love everything I see here. I'm fans of both of your work, and it's been great to talk to you today. So thanks so much for being here and telling us about Impressions.
Thank you, Shelley.
Hope you have a great opening on Friday.
Thank you.
Thank you.